Good morning to all. Feels like we haven't been in here in a while. With a church retreat last weekend, and it sounds like we have one of the side benefits, side effects of church retreat has been the common cold, which a few of us have been battling this last week. I know of quite a few people that have been doing that this last week. So, whatever, shrug your shoulders and we'll get over it. Welcome here. I thank you for coming this morning. There have been a few changes, or there will be a few changes in this morning's service, as you will become aware of. Erica's name is changed to Walter, and Kathy's name is changed to Jake, and so you'll notice that as we go along, just because of some of the stuff that's going on. We're going to take a look at our announcements, and I know that Mitch has one. As you're coming up, Mitch, I will just mention we had a text from Esther this morning. She's not here this morning. Her niece and her fiancé got married yesterday, so in Winnipeg, and Matt and Amanda flew out from California for the wedding, so they're spending the weekend. Matt and Lisa decided not to go to the wedding for whatever reason. The reason being that Sawyer was born last night at 11:55 p.m. So Esther has another grandson to celebrate in her life, and everybody was doing well. It came by C-section, so that was a little unplanned. But we had a picture this morning, and it's a beautiful, beautiful little grandchild for Esther, and she will be one proud grandma. The other thing that I was made aware of this morning is that Shanley got engaged last night. Is that true, Corrine? Apparently? That's what you've heard. Okay. Well, we'll trust that that's came from a good source. So congratulations, Shanley. It's awesome. Mitch.
Good morning, everybody. This is the moment you've all been waiting for, so anxiously waiting for this announcement. I can feel it. Today marks the day where the Blumenort Mennonite Church officially enters into the 21st century when it comes to online donating. Woo! There we go. I hope you're all as excited as I am about this. You may have noticed some papers slipped into your mailboxes that have some instructions on how this works, but I'll give you a brief overview. Basically, there's two ways now that you can donate online. One is through the online bill payment feature in online banking. So basically, if you've ever paid your hydro bill or your MTS bill or anything like that online, you can add your payee, you search it, and then you punch in a number. So for our case, if you search in the payees, there should be a Blumenort Mennonite Church. If you click on that, it'll ask you for a 6-digit member number. So on the papers you might see in your mailbox, there's a 6-digit number assigned to you that you can punch in, and that'll help be able to track for receipting purposes that donation. And with that too, you can actually schedule a recurring payment if you want to set it up weekly or monthly, that sort of thing. There's a feature for that. If you don't have a paper in your mailbox or need something, feel free to contact. You can contact the church's email, bluenortmc@gmail.com, and to request a number if you don't have one. Now, just to note, this works through the Access Credit Union or other credit unions. Right now, that bill payment feature won't work with any of the big banks like CIBC or TD, that sort of thing. If that is something that you really want, it is possible. It's just about a $25 per month charge to the church to allow those banks to work. So if you're interested, let me know. If there's enough interest, we could look at setting up one or two or a couple of the banks. But if not, there's a second option. If any of you have ever sent an Interac e-transfer before, that's kind of I'm not getting a lot of nods or responses. Maybe from that section over there who haven't figured out the whole check thing yet, but um, That you can do. You can set it up, and you can simply send it to the bluenordmc@gmail.com email address. Now, for those of you who have ever sent one before, it asks you to put in a security question and an answer. And so in this case, when you actually set it up, you'll have to put in a security question and answer. You can put in anything you want, because what actually happens is when you send that indirect e-transfer to that email address for the church, it's already directly linked to the bank account. So what happens is you send it, it'll automatically get deposited. We don't have to do anything, you don't have to do anything. It'll show up in the account, and you'll get an email in 10 or 15 minutes saying it's been successfully deposited. If you have any questions or want to know more or need anything, I've put my email address on the page that you may have got, and there's some kind of general pages in the back there by the bulletins if you want to grab one on your way out if you want some more instruction. But yeah, I'm thinking and hoping, if you guys want to try it out this week, I'll report back next week and let you know how much we've received online. It's kind of a thrilling experience. I tried it last week, and it's like you just punch in the number, and whew, there goes your money into the church. It was great. I loved it. So feel free to try it out for yourselves.
Way to go, Mitch. Where else can we get excited about giving? On a little bit of a different note, we received an email, some of us did this week, and as you will look under your prayer list there, Paul J. Peters and family is mentioned there. And that's not one of those notes that we look forward to with excitement, with anticipation. It's one of those that kind of stirs within us some emotions that are not necessarily very welcome. But Paul Peters received confirmation this past week that he has prostate cancer. Indications so far are that the cancer has not spread. Further appointments will indicate what kind of a treatment plan will be needed. We want to uphold Paul and Elizabeth and their families in our prayers as they face this next chapter on their journey of faith. So please pray for Paul and also the rest of them as they're mentioned in the prayer list there. Are there other announcements that... Yes, there is one more. Apparently there was quite a bit of stuff left at church retreat last weekend. Stuff that's in the back in the foyer there somewhere now. So if you have a sweatshirt or possibly something else that's been missing that you think, oh, I should probably left it at church retreat, have a look there. There is a pile of stuff there. So figure out if it's yours, and if it is, then take it. Are there other announcements that I should be making, that I should be highlighting? Welcome back, Mark and Janelle. It's good to see you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for gifts not for us alone, but to all our sisters and brothers, since they too are created in your image. Let their need become our need. Let their hunger become our hunger. And grant us also a portion of their pain, so that in sharing ourselves, we discover the Christ who walks with our brothers and sisters. Amen. I was at Crop Connect this last week, and a few of you may have been there as well. And I would say my favorite speaker, of all the sessions and speakers, was Darby Allen, the fire chief that was in charge of Fort McMurray a couple of years ago when they had that big disastrous fire roar through. I was encouraged. He was responsible for 4,000 EMS personnel during the peak of that crisis. And he says, a leader is never born a leader. A leader is what you develop from the time you are born. And some people may be more gifted at it than others, but he says, a leader does not just happen naturally. He says, you are always a part of a team, and I found that to be so instructive for me. You are part of a team. We as a church are part of a team. We have different gifts, and we're going to hear some of that from Rudy's message today, the giftings that we have received. Are you aware of your own gift? How many of you would automatically raise a hand and say, you're aware of your gifting? There's a few, but not very many. If you were to look at the person next to you and define their gifts, could you do that? I see a few nods. So maybe we should spend some time defining our giftings. Darby Allin reminded us that whatever your responsibility is and whatever the responsibility was in that Fort McMurray fire, he says his encouragement to his team was, whatever you're doing, you do it to the best of your capabilities, whether that is sweeping the snow in front of the sidewalk, whether that is replacing the toilet paper roll, whether that is refilling the coffee pot if you empty it. He says, your role is to do the best that you possibly can because everybody's relying on you. And I think that was, to me, a take-home message that I can apply at Ence Farms Limited, where I work. I can empower the team that we have there to do the best that they can, and I can display trust in them as they do the best and not judge them for having a lesser role. And I think that applies very much so to us as a church family. We don't all have the gift of speaking like Rudy does. And instead of me sitting there and wishing, I wish I could speak like Rudy can, or I wish I could serve like Marilyn can, or you fill in the blanks, why don't I analyze myself? And if I need to, ask a few of you, what do you see in me? What is my gifting? What is my responsibility in BMC or in the church that you normally attend if this isn't it? What is my role? What is my responsibility? What am I good at? And then step to that and do it to the best of my abilities, whether it be vacuuming, whether it be helping roll some tables away, whether it be ushering, whether it be teaching Sunday school, whether it be leading in worship, whether it be music. We all have gifts, and BMC needs those gifts to be done to the best of each one of our abilities. So don't minimize your gifts. Use them for His kingdom work and giver, because we will all be blessed, and we will all praise our Maker and Savior better together that way. And with that, we'll go into singing. Please, Walter.
Thanks, Jake. He told us not to belittle our gifts. I have tried to lead singing a few times, but I'm just going to say it, I don't read music. So it might be a surprise to some of you. So I'm kind of on the coattails of some of these guys that do. But I like singing, and I'm going to give her as I wish we all do. We're going to sing number 529, Come We That Love the Lord. That should encompass, we're here to love the Lord, and that's what we're going to sing about. So let's stand and, as Jake said, give her.
Thank you.
We'll ask the ushers to come forward for this morning's offering, please. I believe the verse that is in the bulletin as our verse for the week, I think, speaks quite well to why we're here. And I would encourage you to follow that one as I read it. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, this is Paul writing in Ephesians, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And a reminder, each of us has been called. With a lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Ephesians chapter 4, 1-3. And with that, let's bow for prayer. Father God, we are so grateful that you've called us, that you have chosen us to be part of your church. We are glad that you've gifted us differently as you placed very deliberately your gifts within each of us to serve your church, to serve you. Thank you for that. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that indwells us, that motivates us, that encourages us, that pushes us out of our comfort zones, that seeks to grow us in faith, to make us and mold us more into your kingdom vessels each and every day. Sometimes that's challenging. Sometimes it means changing some of the things that we do and are and have done. Sometimes it requires asking for forgiveness. Always it requires us praising you. And we pray that you would reveal to us more and more in our daily lives as parents, as grandparents, as uncles and aunts, as sisters and brothers, as neighbors and friends and co-workers, to live out that gift that you've placed in us, praising you, honoring you, glorifying you, spreading your word. Thank you for this, your church, for each person here, from the very youngest to the most senior and everybody in between, and for the experiences that each of them brings to this congregation. And may we worship you together, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There will be a children's story, which is not printed in your bulletin, but there will be one nonetheless. So we ask the children to come forward at this point, as Pastor Rudy has prepared a children's story for you, and I hope for the rest of us. So come and listen.
Good morning. How are you folks this morning? What's that? I am very thirsty. A very thirsty guy. Yeah. Would you like to drink some too? No, not now, eh? Maybe later? Okay. How many of you like cookies? Oh, you have cookies when you come for clubs, don't you? And when you come to DVBS. Do you have cookies in your home? Sometimes. Yeah. Have you ever helped make cookies? Yeah. What are your favorite cookies? What kind? Any pretty, yeah? Baked cookies, yeah. Those are good. There's a kind actually that is not baked that I really, one of my favorites too. Yeah. What? Cracker Jack cookies. Oh, have you helped make them? You did. Did they turn out really good? Oh, wow. Good. Yeah. Icing cookies. Chocolate chip cookies. Oh, all kinds of good cookies. Oatmeal cookies. Yeah. Do they have water? No. No water. What's that? Ginger snap cookies. Oh, yeah. Oma's chocolate. Yeah. Only Oma's know how to make those, right? Yeah. They make the best, yeah? Oh, you bet. And when she gives them to you, do you have more than one? Oh, yeah. Like about five? Yeah. Oh, for sure. I found a cookbook. It says, What's Cooking at Gretna School? 1994 to 1995, that's almost before my time. I tell you, I was looking for some cookie recipes. I found one. There's a bunch in here. As you can tell, this cookbook has been well used. It's all spattered. Yeah, it's got some good recipes in it. Well, I think we should make some cookies. What do you think? Yeah. Oh, man. I found a bowl. That's not much, but I thought for today would do. What else did I find? What do you need for cookies? Ah, you need a spoon, yeah, to stir them? Yeah, this way or this way? Does it matter? Doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter. Good. I found some things in the cupboard. Well, first you have to start with some water, right? Yeah, yeah, you got to put some water in. Then I found, I don't know what's in here. Oh, no, I'll do that later. This is what I found. Ah! Some rolled oats. Yeah, we should put that in there? Yeah, I think put it all in there. Yeah, let's put that in there. And there's something here called, found this too, what's it called? Cornstarch. That goes in cookies? Yeah? Okay, we'll put some of that in there. There we go. Quite a bit, yeah? Oh, about that much? A little more? There, okay. That's looking better all the time. What else we got? Cookies have to be brown, yeah? So I found some cocoa. Okay, put some of that in. Yeah, quite a bit. About that much. There, we'll try that. There we go. And some really sticky stuff. Ooh, it sticks. It's called beehive corn syrup. That goes in cookies, doesn't it? It's very sweet. Syrup, very sweet, yeah? It's good. How much?
All of
them. Like more? Well, let's start with that, and we'll see. If it's not sweet enough, If it's not sweet enough, maybe then we'll do some more. What else did I find? Oh, yeah. I think this is the secret ingredient right here. I found this bag. I thought it hasn't been used for a while, so I thought we should maybe put it into the cookies. I have to open it up to see what it says. Oh, natural almonds. Do they go in there?
No.
Well, they are now. Yeah, they're all used up. Finally, get rid of that bag. It's been bothering me for a while. There we go. Okay, now we got to stir this, yeah? And we have to stir it? Ooh, is that looking good or not? No? Oh, I forgot these. Oh, there's some big chocolate chips, eh? Ooh, is that going to be better? Yeah? Well, I don't know. What do you think? You know?
Milk?
No, I don't have any milk. I think I'll use some water. More water, yeah? Ooh, that better? That's a bit soupy, huh? What do you think? Chocolate soup, yeah. What if I put this in the oven? Do you think it would make a cookie?
Yeah, no, it would burn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if I turned the oven on, it would probably burn, eh? You know what I forgot, though? I forgot to look at my recipe. Oh, it's right here. You know, it says vanilla. Oh, I don't have any. I didn't put any in, did I? It says eggs. We need eggs in there to hold the cookies together, don't we? I didn't put any eggs in, did we? This says baking soda. Oh, that's pretty important, isn't it? Yeah, no kidding. I thought I had everything in here. This probably isn't going to work, is it? More syrup. We'll stick it together. Okay. You've done that before, eh? You like syrup, yeah? Syrup is good. It doesn't. Not in this one, no. No milk. It also says white sugar, and I didn't put any sugar in, did I? Lots of syrup, yeah. You know what gets to be important? We need to read the recipe. And every piece in the recipe is important because every piece makes the whole thing fit together. If something's missing, then the cookies probably won't turn out. It doesn't say anything about water here, does it? Oh, I put water in it. Probably spoiled it. Goodness, I don't think this would taste very good. Even if you boiled it, even if you baked it, even if you cooked it. What if you had it raw? Oh, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, and every piece is important and every piece is needed. So, my question is, if we think of the church, everybody's important? Ah. And if somebody's missing, what happens? What's that? Pieces to make the church. And if we don't have all the pieces, then we don't get very good church, do we?
No, it'll fall.
It'll fall. Oh, yeah, it'll fall. Yeah. We need everybody to do their part, and every part is important in the church. Young people, children, older people. What's that? No, and we can't make the cookies if they're not all there, can we? Ah. Uh-huh. You bet. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go home and I'm going to put this in the oven and I'm going to see what happens. Any of you guys want to come to my house and see what happens? Oh. I'll make you some cookies for club sometime. It has a good recipe here for monster oatmeal cookies. Those are the best. Oh, yeah, they're big. My wife says I always make cookies way too big. They're way too big. Recipe says you're going to get 1.5 dozen. Or sorry, you're going to get about 3 dozen. I get maybe 1 dozen. Yeah, never enough. Never enough. They're way too big. You bet. But I want to mention that everybody's important. And all you guys are important in the church. And everybody who's here is important. And we all need each other. And we all need to work together to be the church. Everybody's important. Let's bow to pray. We thank you, God, for this church and for all the churches that you have called to be faithful to your word. We thank you for giving each of us gifts to belong to the church for all generations, including all ages. Thank you for your gift to us. Thank you for the children. Amen.
Thank you. Good job.
Thank you, Pastor Rudy. These next three songs that we're going to sing Because Pastor Rudy's going to be talking about the spiritual gifts that he's given us, and we're going to sing songs about the Holy Spirit. And it is spiritual gifts. They're not something that we do on our own, because it's not works that we do on our own, but it's gifts given by the Spirit. So we're going to sing three songs, Spirit of the Living God, it's a chorus, and then we're going to sing There's a Sweet, Sweet Spirit in This Place, and then if you wanted to grab a hymnal and put your finger in 216, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. So let's stand and sing those.
Thank you.
Our scriptures this morning are found, when I took the wrong paper. Scriptures this morning are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 4 to 11, and then followed by 27 to 31, and then we'll flip over to chapter 14. First off, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit, a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And then verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kind of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Then chapter 14, verse 26. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn, or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two, or at the most three, should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. Thus far, the word of God.
Thank you, Jake. This last week, I was also in Winnipeg at Canadian Mennonite University, attending 2 days of workshops and seminars on the topic. It was a Renew conference put on by several different conferences, and it had to do, the topic, this was always for equipping people who work in churches. The topic this year was death, funerals, and the Christian hope. Thomas Long, one of our speakers, flew in from the U.S. and landed at the airport in Winnipeg, and as customary, they ask, so what brings you to Canada? Well, I am going to be attending a series of workshops and seminars at Canadian Mennonite University. What's your role in that? Well, I'm actually the speaker. So what's the topic? death, funerals, and the Christian hope. And then he had this guy's attention. Just a couple more questions, and then he said, well, just go. Yeah, he didn't want to talk about that too much longer. He also mentioned, there's all kinds of stories. He has a good storyteller, but he has all kinds of stories. Very good presentations, very helpful, very fruitful, very, it was good to go. But he was en route once to New York, and he needed to speak at a lecture series, but also speak in a church on a Sunday morning. And a couple came to meet him at the airport and said, we insist that you not go to a hotel this weekend, but we want to invite you to our house. And tonight we're having a potluck with a bunch of people from the church, and they're coming together. We do this once a month, so you're invited to come and join. I said, good, okay, we'll do that. It was really stormy that night and rainy, and as Tom was in his line getting some of his food, he talked to the woman behind him and said, I hope this storm doesn't keep people from attending church tomorrow. And she looked at him and said, I'm not going anyway. She said, they're just having a guest speaker, and I wasn't planning on going anyway. Okay, he says. I said, she almost crawled under the table when he introduced him as the guest speaker. you get these wonderful moments from time to time. Is there a certain gift of putting your foot in your mouth, is it? And then when you try and pull it out, you put the other one in too, and there's just not room for any more. It seems that's what happens sometimes. It sounds like the church in Corinth was asking about spiritual gifts. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, in chapter 12, verse 1. So he writes and tells them. He has three chapters on this topic. He's got quite a bit to say. He seeks to describe some misunderstandings and present some of his own thinking. Interesting, he drops the word pneumatics that they use, and instead he uses the term charisma. When he talks about spiritual gifts, it's a synonym for Christ. So he says, here's the main idea. Spiritual gifts are service abilities granted by the Spirit, or God, or Christ, to members of the Christian community for the purpose of ministry in furthering the mission of Christ on earth, furthering the church. It's likely often the case that gifts go unused because no one has ever asked, or I would add, no one has been told that they have a spiritual gift, and even been told what it is. If we check the lists that Paul gives, 1 Corinthians 12, in Romans he has another list, in Ephesians 4:11, there's about 20 items that he mentions. The two main categories would be ministry of the word. There's apostles, there's evangelists, there's teachers, people who are discerning of spirits. There's various kinds of tongues in their interpretation. And secondly, there's gifts of deed, miracle workers, people who are healers, people of faith, people in leadership, people showing mercy, administrators, shepherds. So you have word and deed. That's a good combination, like that. Word and deed. Unusual and ordinary abilities all brought together for a common good. See, Paul is not concerned about a kind of closed catalog. This is not an exhaustive list. I think that's really important. This is not an exhaustive list. There are all kinds of other gifts. Because Paul's understanding was that spiritual gifts are heaven's response to the needs on earth. And as the needs vary, so do the gifts. He doesn't mention anything here about music. He has nothing to say about music. Or counseling. Or a ministry of presence. Or hospitality. And the list goes on and on. As the needs vary, so do the gifts. Heaven's response to needs on earth. There's one source. Notice how many times the word same is said. Is used, same Spirit, same Lord, same God, one and the same. But there are diversity of gifts. There's lots of them. Because to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. A body has to have diversity in order to function. Every distinct function is critical for the body to work. You don't make good cookies with 5 ingredients, especially when you don't read the recipe. It doesn't work.
If one member suffers, he says, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. There is interdependence. That's a good word. Interdependence. In our time, everything has to be independent. We need to be separate from and independent of each other. I think that's not a healthy notion. Interdependence makes a whole lot more sense. Have you ever had a nasty headache or a backache? It affects everything about who you are and kind of what you do and everything about your life. It is so pervasive. I don't know if some of you still remember the movie Tom Hanks in Castaway. He had this horrendous toothache. And he was moored on this island, had nothing to do with this toothache. He didn't know what he could do with it. And he set himself up in that cave where he was staying, and he had this skate blade that he had, and he set it up exactly in the right position, opened his mouth, and then hammered that tooth out with that skate blade. And the resulting scream that he erupted in that cave and the echoes just echoed throughout the whole chamber and throughout the whole movie and into everybody's hearts who was watching it. At least it did in mine. A toothache like that just affects everything about you. There's not much else you can do because you're concentrating so much on that toothache. One member can affect the whole body. It just does. But there's singleness of purpose for the common good. I find the Greek word instructive, symphorion, from which we get the word symphony. All of the parts work together in one symphony for the common good. What it does is it stands opposed to the individual good. It understands the need of the whole body. It takes prayerful stock of all the resources among us. It prays for those that are lacking. It allows everybody to share in the work of the kingdom. It also includes love, which doesn't operate in a vacuum. Love sets the exercise of the gift free for bodily welfare. Earnestly desire the higher gifts, he says. I will show you a still more excellent way. So, just a quick summary. In those three chapters, we have one source, diversity of gifts, singleness of purpose. We gain a perspective on looking at ourselves as part of the Christian community in a way that promotes healthy spirituality. I think there's two important items that come out of all of that. The first one, it undercuts all ground for pride in whatever abilities we might have. The abilities are instead viewed as gifts for ministry. Pride is such a nasty thing, and it often slips in so easily, often unnoticed. Just kind of finds its way in there. For example, in Corinth, there was a growing pride being exhibited by those able to speak in tongues, and it was causing difficulties in the congregation. Paul doesn't discount the miraculous manifestation of the indwelling Holy Spirit. All he does is interject to say that the gift of love is greater than and endures longer than all the other gifts. It is his estimation that this is the closest demonstration of the Spirit. It is the standard by which the use of spiritual gifts ought to be measured. Those speaking in tongues had led some Corinthians to choose false standards of Christlikeness. They were impatient, unmerciful in their feelings of superiority, exalting themselves at the expense of others, full of pride and often arrogance. And that can happen anytime, anywhere, anytime in history with any gift. It just has that ability about it. No, says Paul, it's just a hollow-sounding symbol when that happens to be the case. It knows nothing of Christian courage and patience and tolerance or willingness to suffer on behalf of others. Always beware of pride. At the same time, the second item is also important. It also discourages any undue self-depreciation. We often hear that, don't we? I'm not good at anything. There's really nothing that I can contribute. Others can do it a whole lot better. Just ask them. I can't really do anything. You see, in our time, I think with the reality of YouTube and all the amazing things we can find on there that people do, I think some things are definitely not amazing. But anyway, what we can do in comparison might seem talentless or really insignificant. But again, note some of Paul's list. Apostles, prophets, teachers, various speakers in tongues, workers of miracles, healers, administrators. However, let's remember again that this is not a representative list. Sorry, it's a representative list, not an exhaustive list. And I left out one that he mentions. Did you hear it when Jake read it? Tucked away in the middle of that discussion and list, he mentions one word. Helpers. That's a good word. To be a helper is a spiritual gift. And it's like Paul is putting in a catch-all phrase for all those people who say, I can't do anything. I got nothing to offer. You can be a helper. We can all be helpers. You ever notice how much children want to help? They want to help. Give them something to do. Let them help in some way. It goes such a long way toward having them feeling like they can contribute to something. They want to help. Nobody can exempt themselves from that category. We can all be helpers. Like Jake mentioned, stacking chairs, cleaning up, doing dishes, seeing what needs to be done, and then going about helping to get it done. So important. So, quick summary of Paul's principles in spiritual gifts. Number one, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. I'm going to come back to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each one. Not just a select few, or even to some, but to each, to all. I recall the story of the symphony orchestra that had just started its production. The conductor had gotten everybody going. Within a few bars, he stopped the whole thing. And he had one question. He said, where's the piccolo? The one piccolo player, just one. It's a very distinct sounding instrument. It had definite lines in there, but the piccolo was not playing. He said, what's going on? And the player said, well, I kind of got caught up in the music and sort of listened, and I was only one, so I thought it wouldn't matter if I didn't play. The conductor said, not so. You have a line. You have notes. Without your part, I'm not the only one who would hear that it would be missing. It's there for a reason. You need to play it. Without the piccolo, it's not complete. We need you to be part of that. To each one, to make a symphony, each part is important. Second, 1 Corinthians 12, 31, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. In chapter 14, verse 1, he says, make love your aim. The love demonstrated by God in Christ. Love which expresses itself in action. I think in these chapters we can test ourselves in that. There's that great love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we often talk about. And if we look at verses 4, let's say 4 to 7, or 48, yeah, 4 to 7. It says there, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Doesn't insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful, does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Verses 4 to 6. So, what if every time the word love appears, we substitute it for the word I? Then it would read, I am patient. I am kind. I am not jealous or boastful. I am not arrogant or rude. I don't insist on my own way. I'm not irritable. I am not resentful. I do not rejoice at wrong, but I rejoice at the right. How does that sound? I think when we do that, we recognize that we need some help. And we need some help from the Spirit of God, that charisma of God, the grace of God, to allow it to infuse our lives so that these characteristics actually become part of who we are. So that at some point, yeah, we can truthfully say that. And we can live that. We can be that. That's a growth in maturity. That's a growth over a lifetime. Possible. Always possible. The third principle, 1 Corinthians 14:26, let all things be done for edification, to build up, to improve, and to establish. If you go back to the King James Version, it's interesting. It says, for the perfecting of the saints. I think sometimes we get misconstrued by the word perfecting. It doesn't mean perfect. What it does mean, perfect here means to help or to adjust individual parts until they work correctly together. That's the meaning of the word perfect when it's used in the King James. Otherwise, we think, well, how can we ever measure up? Because we're not perfect. It means to tweak it. You got a part that's not working quite right, or it's missing something, or it's not in the right place. It's got to be tweaked so that it does work smoothly. I'm sure, Jake, you would know that in green cleaning. When the ratio is wrong or something's squeaking and it's not working right, it's not going to work at all. It's just not going to bring out the right product. Number four, 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. From Genesis 1 onward, God seeks to make order out of chaos. I have this impression that chaos makers do not worship this God. I just don't see it. God is a God of order and always makes order out of chaos. That's God's prerogative. That's what God does. That's what happens when God is at work in the world, in lives, in marriages, in people's individual lives, whatever, creates order out of chaos. And number five, 1 Corinthians 14:40. But all things should be done decently and in order. Kind of a continuation of point number four. We have all been given a gift by God's Spirit to be used for the common good. It's not something we acquire by our own efforts or even intentions. It is given to us, bestowed upon us freely, without our having done anything to deserve it. It's been entrusted to us, and we are encouraged to use it. Now, certainly, we recognize it's a gift to have perfect pitch. I've always kind of envied those people who can do that. That's amazing. They can tell you exactly what pitch. And when they sing, they're always just right on. And they can tell when you're not on. That's not so good. It's quite something to be an Olympic gymnast or to have an imagination capable of grasping the abstractions of subatomic physics. I like that term. I have no idea what it means at all, but I like that term. That's why I used it. However, consider this. What you can do may be a great gift to the rest of us, but who you are is still the greater gift. If we shift our focus from what you do to how you go about living in the world, that changes the way we look at the human landscape. After all, is that not the way that we recognize gifts in other people? We observe how they live their lives in the ordinary, everyday world. I was reminded just this past week of something that I thought was just really insightful. The fellow was suggesting that if you want to get a good measure of people's character and who they are, why don't you look at what they do with their bodies? And he went on to explain, he says, watch where they go. Watch what they do. Watch what company they keep. Watch what they do with their body. If you follow people around for a while, you get a pretty good idea of what character is behind the body. I thought that made some sense. Can we see each other in the church as gifts and as gift bearers? A congregation can reframe its life together when they commit themselves to recognizing one another's gifts and actually pointing them out and encouraging others to use those gifts that they see in each other. In one congregation, there was a wise woman who at a prayer retreat responded to the invitation to consider what her gift to the community might be. And after pondering the matter in silence, she said four words. She said, "I've been through things." Can you imagine what kind of a gift that is? Can you imagine what she would bring to others who are suffering and hurting and in pain? "I've been through things." She's been there. She speaks with understanding and the ability to listen and care deeply with compassion. What a gift. What a gift. I know people in this congregation who have been through things, tough things. It can be used as a gift for others, and I would encourage you to do that, to use it. I know people in this congregation who are skilled teachers, administrators, Sunday school teachers, and leaders. It is a gift to be used. I know people in this congregation who have a deep hunger for God, people intent on doing the will of God, people who pray fervently, honestly, people who are generous with their time and their money and hospitality. That is a gift to be used. There are people in this congregation who are farmers, bus drivers, carpenters, people with a passion for music, good food, people who are faithful parents, people who are faithful grandparents, who are godly role models, factory workers and students, truck drivers and office workers and children. That is a gift. Your job is your Christian vocation. One woman introduced herself to a new group as a disciple of Jesus, carefully disguised as a construction worker. Discovering who we are with one another may be helped by the simple exercise of imagining who we would be without one another. That kind of discovery often happens at funerals, doesn't it? We all of a sudden realize what we're going to miss. It would be in our best intents and interests to make the discovery sooner than at a funeral. What do you enjoy doing? What are you good at? Do it to the best of your ability in order to honor God, the great gift giver. We need one another to keep all the lamps that each of us represents, the lamps that shine forth the light of Christ. We need one another to keep them all trimmed and burning. Let's share our gifts. Let's appreciate one another's giftedness and celebrate the symphony that is God's good work in this world always. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Rudy. Let us respond by standing and singing 538, "The Love of God is Greater Far."
Let's bow to pray. Lord, for this great love, we give you our thanks. For the great undeserving grace that you extend to us, that comes enriched with gifts that you offer to each one of us. For the common good, we give you our thanks. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon each one and give to each one God's peace today and always. Amen.